ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 14 वर्स नंबर 21। को वेति भूमन् भगवन् परात्मन् योगेश्वरोतिर्भवतस्त्रिलोक्याम् क्व वा कथं वा कति वा कदेति विस्तारयन् क्रीडसि योगमायाम् Translation. O Supreme Great One, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Super Soul, Master of all mystic power, your pastimes are taking place continuously in these three worlds. But who can estimate where, how, and when you are employing your spiritual energy and performing these innumerable pastimes? No one can understand the mystery of how your spiritual energy acts. Purport. Brahma previously stated that Lord Krishna incarnates among the demigods, human beings, animals, fish, and so on. This does not mean, however, that the Lord is degraded by his incarnations. As Brahma clarifies here, no conditioned soul can understand the transcendental nature of the Lord's activities which he enacts through his spiritual potency. Although the Lord is Bhuman, the Supreme Great One, Supremely Great One, he is still Bhagavan, the supremely beautiful personality exhibiting pastimes of love in his own abode. At the same time, he is Paramatma, the all-pervading super soul, who witnesses and sanctions all the activities of conditioned souls. The Lord's multiple identity is explained by the term Yogeshwara. The absolute truth is the master of all mystic potencies, and although he is one and supreme, he manifests his greatness and opulence in many different ways. Such elevated spiritual matters can hardly be understood by foolish persons primitively identifying themselves with the insignificant material body. These conditioned souls, such as atheistic scientists, consider their own puffed-up intelligence supreme, gullibly placing their firm faith in material illusion. They are captured by the modes of nature and driven far away from knowledge of God. Krishna, sincerely seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas. Though not really qualified to sit here and speak, but somehow today I have been given this service. So let me try to render it in as humble a spirit as possible so that you can pray to the Lord and the Lord helps me to say some few words that do make some meaning. Thank you very much. In today's verse, when you go through the translation, we can read the translation once again. Actually, going back to the context, we all know that we are in this chapter, which is Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna. And the situation in which Brahma is placed is, he is completely bewildered. Thinking Krishna to be an ordinary boy, he decides to use his mystic powers and test that Supreme Personality of Godhead, not knowing that he is dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but who has appeared just like a small boy, innocently playing with his cowherd boy friends, joking, laughing, giggling, engaging in mischievous activities. Hardly anybody can recognize that such a person could be God. So Brahma, who is not an ordinary person again, he is the very first created living being, endowed with such supreme intelligence that he is empowered with creating this entire universe. So not an ordinary person, but even Brahma is mystified. He is unable to understand and recognize that this little boy is the Supreme Lord. So just in order to reconfirm and to verify, is he really the Supreme Personality? He decides to enact a test. And this test is what we all read, that is hiding the boys and the calves. And then, surprisingly, he finds that all these calves and all these boys are there as they were. He himself gets mystified. What we hear sometime is, Shikari khud ban gaya shikar. We have heard this. So that is exactly what happens to Brahma. So he decides to test that boy, but in turn, he himself gets tested. And now Brahma comes to his senses and he begins to understand, oh, this little boy, who I thought was an ordinary boy, could not be God, but well, he is that very God, who is my very source. I have come from him. So how can a part know the whole? So therefore, Brahma is humbled. And in that humble attitude, he is offering these prayers. So when we understand this context, then we can much appreciate these words of Brahma, that in what mood that Brahma is mentioning these words. He is glorifying the Lord duly. And he says, Supreme Great One. And then this translation, it brings out one very important factor, that the Lord is a mystery. Nobody can understand him. And Brahma himself cannot understand, then who are we? Just ordinary living entities struggling in this material creation of the Lord, struggling against the forces of material nature, hardly aware of our spiritual identity. Where do we stand a chance? Therefore, we take shelter of the acharyas like Brahma himself. And they enact these pastimes. It is not that Brahma is actually incapable of understanding. But they enact this. But of course, he cannot understand in the true sense. But he certainly will be knowing that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the Lord's own arrangement, he mystifies his own dear devotees just in order to teach a lesson. And he uses his own devotees to teach the world. And therefore, we have these pastimes in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So here, Brahma explains, the Lord's spiritual energy is the antaranga shakti or internal potency. It is a big mystery. Since one cannot understand, it is best to surrender. When you don't understand, it is best to surrender. And therefore, the Lord says, to one who surrenders, I grant my protection. This is the Lord's response to one who surrenders. So it is a very safe position for the living entity. Pratijane hi kaunteya name bhaktya pranashyati. This bhakti movement teaches us how to love and serve the Lord. And therefore, the devotees engage in 5 reciprocal relationships with the Lord, loving relationship with the Lord, and therefore they are not fearful. Actually, love and service are interlinked with each other. Wherever there is love, service automatically follows. They are like 2 ends of the same stick. If you pull one end of the stick, the other end follows. So, wherever there is love, there is automatically service. But in our case, we don't even know the Lord. So where is the question of loving the Lord? So therefore, for us, the reverse process works. So we are first taught to serve the Lord. So when you start serving the Lord, so you pull the stick from the other end, so the first end will follow. Then you begin to love the Lord. So it is a very simple process, and this is the process of bhakti. If you cannot love the Lord, then at least serve Him. If you love Him, if you serve Him, then you will one day start loving Him. And that is the perfection of human existence, or all existence. Those who only want to enjoy separately from Him and seek His favor to do so are perpetually in fear. And they are afraid lest they may anger Him. Therefore, there are various processes of approaching the Lord. And Bhakti Yoga is the best process. So there are those who are following the Karma Kandi process. They want to enjoy this world, but in order to enjoy also this world, still they need His favor. So somehow they approach Him, but always with fear in their heart. So this is the difference between a devotee and one who is simply trying to enjoy his own senses. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his Shikshashtakam prayers, while he is teaching us how to perform bhakti, he takes us to the pinnacle of this principle. And what is that? That principle is, Ashlishyava padarata pinashtumam adarshanam marmahatam karotuva yatha tathava vidadhatu lampato mat prana nathastu sa eva naparam. What is the prayer of the devotee? He teaches us how to pray. And so he says that under all conditions, I am your unconditional servant. Unconditional, no conditions at all. The devotee has no fear because he does not expect anything from the Lord. This is the position of the devotee. He doesn't want anything in return for the service he is rendering to the Lord. It is not a quid pro quid that I give you something and you give me something. I scratch your back and you scratch my back. No, it is one way. Therefore, it is unconditional. I just want to serve you, my Lord. And what is that service born of? Love. Simply love. So this is the basis of bhakti. And he has implicit faith. This is another quality of the devotee. He has no fear. And second thing is, he has implicit faith. Implicit faith that the Lord will protect. And therefore he has no fear. Because this world is a place where there is danger at every step. Padam padam yadam vipadam. It is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this kind of a place, it is natural to be fearful. At least human beings are civilized. Civilized means trying to hide the truth. That is the understanding of civilized. But animals are very open. If they want to even take one grain, they see here, they see there, they check, they cross-check, then they pluck a grain and they fly away. They will not sit and enjoy a meal comfortably like people do, because they are constantly in fear. Fear is the feature of this world. You cannot escape fear in this world. But then how does a devotee escape fear? Because he has implicit faith in the Lord. The Lord is there, He will protect me. So why am I worried? This is the beauty of bhakti. So Brahma here is praising the Lord step by step. It is an ascending praise. First he calls Him, O Supreme. That means a great personality. Then he says, no, it is not enough if I just say that you are great. Generally in this world, everybody says God is great. But the problem is, nobody knows how great is God. Brahma has some idea. So therefore, he says, O great one. Then he says, no. It is not enough if I just say great one. You are the very supreme personality of Godhead. You are the extreme. There is nothing beyond you. So then he clarifies himself. He says, Koveti Bhuman. Then he says, Bhagavan. That is, you are God Himself. And then he gives a qualification to that. He says, Paratman. Paratman means the all-pervading supersoul. This is a great feature that we need to understand. Love is the basis of relationship between the Lord and the living entity. Just as a mother loves her child, she would never let the child away from her sight, because a child is helpless. A child is ignorant and a child is innocent. So mother is constantly in touch and in sight of the child. Exactly the same thing is the relationship between the Lord and the living entity. And the living entity who comes into this material world is in that precarious situation where he cannot afford to be alone. So the Lord, like the loving mother, comes as the Paramatma and accompanies the living entity everywhere. And he is witnessing all the activities of the living entity. Then why is it people do not understand the existence of the Lord, presence of the Lord? The answer is, this is another great quality of his. Because here it is mentioned, he has multiple identities. Normally we have one identity. And what is our identity? Our identity is Jivera Swarupoya Nityera Krishnadas Krishnera Tatastha Shakti Veda Veda Prakash. So our identity is we are his eternal servants. But Krishna has multiple identities. Sometimes he is the mother, sometimes he is the father, sometimes he is the friend. He can take so many positions. That is his greatness. He is omnipotent. His potency is not limited. He is unlimited. And therefore, he is a mystery. This is the fact why he is a mystery, because his identities are unlimited. It's not multiple, it is actually unlimited, infinite. That is how he is variable. So, this is the Paramatma feature. So he qualifies, Brahma is further qualifying. Oh, you are not only great, you are not only the greatest, but you are all pervading. So he is qualifying further. And then he explains, your pastimes are taking place continuously in these three worlds. Now continuously is something it is difficult for us to comprehend, because Krishna steals butter. So it is said his pastime is continuous. That means Krishna is continuously stealing butter. But how to understand this? Therefore, the acharyas give us analogies. And there is this beautiful analogy by which we can understand this complex situation, and they have made it simple for us. Krishna haya surya sama, maya haya andhakar. Yaha Krishna, taha nahi maya radhikar. So it's a very commonly used statement, we all understand. So Krishna is like the sun and Maya is like darkness. So wherever there is bright light, darkness cannot exist. But there is another side to this analogy. The sun is shining. But then when the sun is shining, there are certain places in the world where it is night. So why is this happening? When the sun is shining, there should be no darkness. That is what we have just learnt. But then this is what is we see. At one side there is brightness, the other side there is darkness. The sun is ever shining, never rises or sets. This is the real position. In other words, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Absolute Truth, is ever present, is neither born nor does he die. It is only there because of the rotation of the earth that the living entities perceive the sun to rise and set. Or in other words, it is only because of our egocentric nature we are not able to perceive the truth as it is. This is our problem. It is not the sun that appears and disappears, but we come into the shine and effulgence of the sun and go back into darkness, away from the sun, and experience darkness. But we say, the sun is rising. Actually, we are approaching the sun. Similarly, we say, the sun is setting. Actually, we are in fact going away from the sun and turning our back to the sun. But we say, the sun is setting. This is the Lord's power of illusion. For our shortcomings, we actually ascribe it to the other persons. Or for our actions, we ascribe it to the other persons. This is how the power of illusion is working in this world. This is a graphic representation of how it works. The rotation of the earth is actually a depiction of our egocentric nature. Rotating around one's own ego. Always we are thinking of oneself. Me, I, mine. Aham mameti. This is our problem. The Supreme Absolute Truth is ever present, and when propelled by our desire to enjoy separately from the Lord, He helps us forget Him. The Lord is the supreme enjoyer. Our constitutional position is to serve and not to enjoy. So just as a parent gives a toy to a child to play with so that he can fulfill his fancies, the Lord creates this material world where the living entity temporarily feels he is the enjoyer, and the Lord drops a curtain between himself and the entity so that he may enjoy without seeing the Lord. Because in his presence he cannot enjoy. How can the servant sit on the dining table and have his lunch when the master is at home? He cannot do that. He cannot take the position of the enjoyer. So the Lord therefore hides himself. He drops a curtain between himself and the living entity. And that curtain is the false ego that separates us from the Lord. So sometimes we say curtain raiser. So sometimes the Lord gives you a jhalki. Sometimes He raises the curtain a little bit and shows you what is beyond. And what are these kind of experiences? They are known as mystical experiences. Because they are beyond reasoning. You cannot raise that curtain. The Lord can do it. When He does it, you have no control. When He will do it, when He will not do it, you don't know. It is up to Him. If He wants to, He will reveal. If He doesn't want to, He will not reveal. If He is not revealing, you don't know. You are in ignorance. That is our position. So when He wants, He gives a little bit of vision of Himself, a little bit of understanding of the truth, according to the desire of the living entity or according to the Lord's own choice. So sadhu is a devotee of the Lord. He comes to deliver the devotee. Because we are on the other side of the curtain, it is not that He is completely abandoning us. So He sends His representatives to retrieve us, to call us back. And that is why the sadhus appear in this world. For one whose only subject matter is the world, is the Lord, that is a sadhu. Now here, so this is how Brahma is describing that how the Lord is a mystery. It is because He is hidden from us. We can't see Him. But it is only by the Lord's own choice He can reveal Himself. Naham prakashe sarvasya yoga maya samavrata mudoyam nabhi janati lokomam ajam avyayam. He is explaining His position in the Bhagavad Gita. And this is the greatness of scriptures. Of the Bhagavad Gita, of the Bhagavatam. Because even in this world, it is difficult for you to understand what is happening in another person's mind. One cannot understand that. And what to speak of understanding what is happening in the mind of the Lord, what the Lord is thinking. Therefore, the Lord, out of His own mercy, reveals His thought process, reveals His true self. And therefore, the scriptures are nothing but a benediction of the Lord. Maya mugdha jivera nahi swata krishna gyan jivera kripa kaila krishna veda puran. Krishna says the living entity is completely absorbed in maya, that is illusion. Nahi swata krishna gyan, is incapable of knowing the Lord. Jivera kripa kaila, out of mercy to the living entity, He has created the Veda Puran. He has given us the Veda Puran. Jivera Kripa Kaila Krishna Veda Puran means He is giving the Vedas and Puranas. So therefore, these scriptures are nothing but actual direct mercy of the Lord, wherein He is actually revealing Himself, wherein He is explaining what is our true position. He is helping us to come out of our bewilderment. Otherwise, we are perpetually in bewilderment. And here, Brahma is enacting that pastime of the bewildered soul. Just as Arjun took the role of a bewildered soul and the Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Therefore, these great personalities they take different roles just to educate the common masses. There is a phrase in English which says, stooping to conquer. Normally, you have to be aggressive if you want to conquer. But there is another way of conquering, and that is to stoop. So Brahma is certainly not a fool, but he takes the position of being a fool. This is the position of, he's actually conquering the Lord by his surrendered or subdued behavior. This is actually the inner reason for these leelas. Externally it may appear that how can it be, how a person does not understand. But then there is an inner reason why great personalities are put into bewilderment. Otherwise one may say, he is intelligent, he knows, he is all-knowing, why should he get bewildered? If he gets bewildered, what is my hope for me? So why try all this process? Let me be remaining in this material position. Why try to take up spirituality at all? There are people who may try to advance such reasons. So this is the understanding for that. So the Lord's illusory potency is very, very powerful. And it is futile on our part to try and pierce that or try and overcome that. On our own effort, we will not be able to do it. It is only by the mercy of the Lord that the Lord can retrieve us, can pick us up from that degraded position and bring us to a position where we can see light. Otherwise, we are only in darkness. Actually, what is our position in this world? You know, the small children, when you see them, supposing the child is in the house, and the child wants to go out, and the door is locked. What does the child do? It looks at the mother or the father. And the child will raise his arms, isn't it? And when he raises his arms, the parents understand, oh, he wants us to lift him. He wants to go out. So what they do? They reciprocate with the desire of the child. They will lift the child, keep the child with them, open the door, and they take the child out. The child enjoys, isn't it? This is exactly how the living entity in this world has got only one choice, and that is to cry out for the mercy of the Lord. And that is why this arms raising that we practice in ISKCON has got a special significance. We are calling out to the Lord. We are appealing for the mercy of the Lord. I am helpless, my Lord. I am absolutely condemned. I cannot do anything on my own. Please lift me. Please pick me up. This is the cry of the soul. And the Lord mercifully can pick up the living entity. So this is why Draupadi lifts her hand. She is also showing us the same thing. Similarly, when we lift our hands in prayers, we are actually crying out to the Lord. I am hopelessly caught up in this material world. I am absolutely being tossed in the waves of this material ocean. I have no way, I have no escape from this. I have, my only hope is that you can lift me out of this, then I will be saved. Otherwise, I stand no chance. Now, in this purport, it is explained, Brahma previously stated that Lord Krishna incarnates among the demigods, human beings, animals and fish and so on. So it's very interesting to see that the Lord has various incarnations. Some of these topics were discussed yesterday. But there's one little thing which caught the interest. So I thought we could share it. Actually, this little story is given in the Vayu Puran. And this story is regarding Lord Parshuram, one of the incarnations of the Lord. And the incarnation of Parshuram is described as the incarnation among the sages. Jamdagni, he was born to Jamdagni and Renuka. So, it's very interesting if we note, in all the incarnations, somehow the Lord is depicted with his forearms. And what are the four things in his forearms? Shankh, Chakra, Gada, Padma. This we see. But Lord Parshuram is very strangely carrying an axe. He is not carrying the chakra. You can see that. Why is it? Actually, there is a story behind it. And the story is, Sudarshan, Chakra, once became proud and said, I am indispensable. The Lord needs me. See how I serve the Lord. See how great I am. But the Lord's nature is, He can never stand pride, especially in the heart of His devotees. So, the Lord said, okay, so you think you are very great? You think you are indispensable? Well, so now I am going to incarnate without you. And that is how the Lord carries an axe with Him. Parashu. And since He is self-satisfied, He has all the potencies of pleasure within Him, He is Ram. So He is Parashu Ram. So without the chakra, He is satisfied. He has got no reason to go for the chakra. But who is that chakra? That Sudarshan. He incarnates as Kartivirya, Arjuna. And therefore we have that story of Kartivirya Arjuna has got 1,000 arms. Is he the son of Banasur? Right? No? Okay. So he has got 1,000 arms. And we know the story of the fight between Parshuram and Kartivirya Arjuna. So it is explained that Kartivirya Arjuna came to Jamadagni's ashram where the Kamadenu cow was there with the sage. But he saw that just by praying to the cow, he was able to give all sorts of comforts, facilities to the king and to his entire entourage. So he was amazed at the power of this cow. So he wanted to steal the cow. Forcibly, he took up with the cow without permission of Jamadagni Rishi. And when Lord Parshuram, who is his son, he came to know about this, he decided to attack Kartivirya Arjuna. So he was angry with his chopper, shield, bow and arrow. With the speed of wind, then the speed of mind, he killed 17 Akshobhini soldiers. This 1,000-headed Kartivirya with 500 bows attacked Lord Parshuram. And Parshuram, with a single bow, released arrows to cut all the bows with his axe. He cut his arms and he subdued the pride of Kartivirya Arjuna. In other words, Sudarshan. Actually, when we understand that each and anyone is simply an instrument in the Lord's hand, the instrument cannot take credit for what the craftsman has done. But unfortunately, because of ego, this is what happens. The living entity gets puffed up. For the little potency that has been invested by the Lord in that entity, and when he utilizes it and sees that he is able to do something, then the entity gets puffed up. And therefore, in order to correct the living entity, especially his own devotees, the Lord performs various pastimes. The Lord's mercy to his devotees is direct. To the rebellious, he gives the mercy in an indirect way. But both get his mercy. He doesn't deny his mercy to anybody. Like there is a child who is very obedient and there is a child who does not obey. But the parents look after both of them. Krishna trampled Kaliya and purified him. It is his mercy. Kaliya was very proud of his power. He was arrogant that he could kill at will. That was his position. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu crushed Keshav Kashmiri's pride. The Lord comes to relentlessly slash the false pride of the living entities as well as the devotees. Indra is the example where the Lord is smashing the false pride of Indra. Indra is so puffed up with his power that actually because he gives rains and therefore there is prosperity. So he has come to take it as a matter of right. But the Lord reminds him that the first right actually goes to the Supreme Lord. He is your very source. He is the one who has given you these powers. So you should know to humble yourself in front of the Lord. So that is the, what is it, pastime? The Govardhan pastime. And the Lord can pick up the most insignificant instrument. This is the greatness of the Lord. And play the best music out of it. The living example that we can see is Krishna playing the flute. Flute is a very simple instrument. Such a simple instrument. It doesn't need any extraordinary, you know, arrangements, or it's not very difficult or complex to make or even to break. Even to break it is very easy, even to make it is very simple. But then Krishna plays such wonderful music out of the flute. But what is the special quality of the flute? The flute is hollow. Humility. So this is what the living entity needs. Humility. Only when the living entity is invested with the quality of humility does the Krishna's mercy flow towards that entity. And then Krishna can make him an instrument in his hand. And with that instrument, if he so chooses, he can create the best music. He can make the most simple living entity also perform unimaginable activities. So pride cometh before the fall. This is what is the statement given in the Bible also. So Brahma, what is he telling us? He's telling us, whatever the situation may be in this world, if all is well or all is hell, take it well. Do not rebel. Be not a pretender. Do not ponder. Simply surrender and look at the wonder. This is what Brahma is telling us, teaching us. Be the Lord's messenger, never an avenger. A friend or stranger, stoop and do conquer. Chant his holy names loud and clear. Serve him and glorify, have no fear. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So what Brahma and all the devotees, all the acharyas, through all these prayers, what are they teaching us? They teach us that the Lord is supreme. Do not try to estimate him. Our position is to serve him. Simply become an instrument in his hands. He is infinite, we are finite. Our only relationship with him is to surrender. The treasure you are looking for is neatly locked and packed in a chest called service, that is devotional service. The key to that chest is with the spiritual master. Seek him and serve him. When he is pleased, he will give you that key. Only with the attitude of humility will that lock open. The bird is open the same, and that is humility. Then you become a rich man, and a rich man like Sridhar Kulavecha. Sridhar Kulavecha, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, one day I am going to disclose to the whole world how rich you are. But who was he actually? He was more poor than poor can be. More poor than poverty can be. That is his external appearance. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the internal treasure of his heart. The supreme love that he had for the Lord. And the way he served the Lord. So, this is how the Lord is teaching us we should not try to be independent of the Lord. So, he is telling us, independent you fall, dependent you stand. If this you understand, you don't need another stand. So, we have to be always dependent on the Lord. This is the lesson that Brahma is giving us. No one can understand. That's what Brahma says. The mystery. The Lord is a mystery. And his spiritual energy, which is his internal potency, is also beyond our understanding. These are the words of Brahma's surrender, the prayer that we read today, where he gives up his ego that I am Brahma. And he says, you are the Yogeshwar. Yogeshwaroti. He is describing the Lord as Yogeshwar. He says, my mystic power is insignificant in front of you. And he says, please pardon me. That is his attitude. So actually, these acharyas are teaching us in what mood, in what humble spirit, we have to render our service, and in what mood we have to pray and approach the Lord. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So if there are no questions or comments, then I think we can end the class. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.